Hey, we're back on Downtown at 4:30 on a Monday afternoon. And how exciting is this to be able to say, here's some brand new music from the great Harry Nilsson.
One for the government, two for the president. Standing outside right next to his monument. How can he take the problems from the innocent? One for the indigent, standing on the pavement. She was dropped from heaven's gate, down to the middle of a marketplace.
That is the title cut from a brand new album from Harry Nilsson that comes out this Friday. Recordings made in the late 80s and early 90s, and producer Mark Hudson hung on to them, trying to figure out the best way to put it all together. And as it turns out, the best way was to involve some great Nilsson friends like Jimmy Webb, Van Dyke Parks, Jim Keltner, and Harry's son, the very talented bassist Kifo Nilsson, who joins us to talk about working on this album of his father's. Kifo, great to have you with us. How long has this project been in the works?
Well, I mean, technically it started 25 years ago, right? With the just recording of the original material. This specific project, I couldn't tell you the exact start date, but it would have been either late last year or early this year, I think, when they actually started. But I'm not exactly sure when it got off the ground.
And was it Mark Hudson who reached out to you to get involved in the production?
Yeah, he reached out to me. He called me up one day and just kind of said, hey, I heard that you played bass and thought it might be cool if you wanted to come play some bass on this record, pretty much. And I said, yeah.
And so you and some friends of your dad's and the family as well, Van Dyke Parks, Jimmy Webb, and others, it's quite a reunion of folks here.
Yeah, there was definitely, I mean, we got Jim Keltner on there and Van Dyke shows up, and it's definitely just some real pro musicians that came on to the sessions to try to make it sound as good as it could.
Well, I've only heard a couple of cuts so far. The album's due to be released on the 22nd. How would you describe the album?
I think it's really good. It's energetic. You know, there's a lot of really big, big, bold sound to it. It's produced in a way that I feel is almost reminiscent of some of not the earliest Tipton material, but the sort of pre-Tipton material, almost that kind of late 60s sound. It's kind of reminiscent of that, but it's big and energetic is the big, those are the two words I would probably use.
And the vocals, if I remember right from reading, were recorded over several years. I think some going back to maybe 1987, and then some right up pretty close to when your father passed away.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it as well. I don't know all of the specifics for each track, which was recorded when and where. But yeah, that's my understanding of it as well. And I know that the vocals were in different states. Some of them were more complete than others, and some of them needed some additional work to kind of, you know, keep them sounding consistent with everything else. But yeah, that's about right. I think it would have been late 80s and early 90s.
What was the experience like for you? Was it a bit surreal? Because I mean, you were pretty young when your dad passed away. What was it like to be playing with him?
Well, for the actual sessions, I try to keep it a little bit detached, you know, as a sort of, I guess, professional mindset of just go in and do the work and try not to be too distracted by the context if I can help it. I try to approach it that way. So when it comes to just playing the parts and communicating with Mark and with Jim, and that part of it was fairly straightforward. I tried to treat it just like any other session. But I think when we would listen to playback, we would definitely have these moments of just like, we'd be in the control room and it'd be, you know, wow, this is really cool. Like, listen to what we're doing. This is so cool. And there's just these moments of just like, yeah, this is unheard Harry Nilsson. This is new Harry Nilsson. And it's really a treat to have been able to do it.
Had you heard any of the vocal tracks before you started the recording process?
Not so much. I hadn't heard them in the state that they were. I had heard some of the demos before, because we had some of the demos like on cassette tapes. But it's one of those things that I think I kind of didn't want to listen to them too much going in, because I didn't want to have a preconceived, you know, notion of like, oh, this is how it should or shouldn't be. I wanted to trust what Mark's ears were telling him and what his relationship with the music was telling him, and not try to think too much about, oh, well, this is how it sounded on the demo, so it must sound like this on the finished recording or whatever. So I had heard a little bit, but not too extensively.
Now, did I read somewhere that you were with your mother when you listened to the finished product?
Yeah, I think it was, I don't remember what the date was, but she got a copy of it when it was finished, and she said, if you want to come by, she lives not too far from me, so if you want to swing by and give it a listen. So I did, and we sat down in the living room and gave it a listen, and it was really nice.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, your father keeps coming back around. He never goes away for long in the public consciousness with Russian Doll and the exposure to a new generation of listeners. And with all the work in recent years, from box sets to retrospectives to biographies, he keeps coming back around. And what's that like for the family? In a sense, does it keep him alive? Not that he isn't always there in your memory, but is it great to see him back in the public eye again?
Yeah, I think it's really great. I think it's something that he would have really wanted. You know, he really loved. I mean, this was his life's work. You know, this is what he wanted to do, and he wanted people to know what he was doing, and he wanted to put his material out there. And I think when he was alive, and if you look at the arc of his career, it didn't always necessarily take the paths that he might have hoped it would have taken, but he always approached his material with just pure honesty and a real foresight into the songwriter's process and just what it means to make music and what it means to make art and to express yourself. And I think that he always really wanted people to know that he put everything into it and to have that response. So I think he would be thrilled if he was still around to know that people still care, because it's one of those things you put it all out on the line and you hope for the best, and that people can still be into it is really special. So I think he would be into it, and as we are totally into it as well, because it's one of those things for us where, as you said, it does kind of ebb and flow sometimes, and sometimes it does feel like he gets overlooked maybe or underappreciated. And so it's really nice, especially when there's this newer generation of fans my age and younger even, who will hear it and they find that it is timeless music, and it really is just very good songwriting, and it's very expressive. And yeah, so we're always thrilled when stuff like that comes up.
Can't wait to hear the new album. But before we let you go, how are your dunking skills? Are they still intact?
You know, it's funny. I literally just got back from the gym right now, and I've just started going to a new gym, and I'm really thrilled that this gym actually has, at first I thought it was NBA lines, but I think it's actually Division I NCAA 3-point lines, whereas my old gym just had high school lines. So I can take better 3-pointers now. So I've been working mostly on that. Right now, this minute, not jumping too well. I'm getting a little older. I'm definitely starting to feel it. I can do it if I travel and get a really nice jump, maybe, but it's definitely not what it used to be.
Now, can you sink that half-court shot like your dad in the, Do It On Monday video?
Yeah, at the Great Western Forum.
Yes.
That's where they shot that, which I just think is so cool. Yeah, I can get one once in a while. I don't know if I would do it on the first take like he did. Well, you know, the story with that one is that apparently he hit it on the first take, but they weren't rolling.
Yes.
So apparently, like, he got it on the first try, and then it took them an hour to get the second one. Or maybe not an hour, but it took them a while to get the second one.
I might still be there 20 years later trying to drop that one myself. Well, Akifo, we're so great to talk with you, and so much looking forward to this brand new album. Appreciate you making time for us today.
Yeah, no problem. And again, just I hope that everyone enjoys it. You know, it's a lot of love went into this record, and it's a real treat to be able to do it and have it out there. So hope people can enjoy it.
Akifo Nielsen, the album again called Lost and Found.